disruption to Southeastern services this weekend. And then he went on to talk about the map of the affected area, the incident description, the current disruption, speed restrictions, and ways in which one could keep up to date with what was happening. And then he went on to say that Mother Nature can sometimes be unpredictable. And I thought, wow. And then said that we're planning a full service today, except for those routes affected by planned engineering work. But if you're traveling on the routes above, then trains are likely to meet with some delay during the day. And I thought to myself, wow, because the title of my message, which I had written down the day before, was Jacob's Journey Home, Delays, Disruptions, Disappointments. And derailment of destiny. And so I thought that National Rail was confirming that I was on track. Shall we pray? Father, thank you for another opportunity to share from your word of life this morning. And I pray that from these lips of clay to the heart of your people, your word of life will be communicated. And I pray, Father, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts will be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles, would you please turn to Genesis chapter 31? And I'm reading from verse 3. Genesis chapter 31 from verse 3. Then the Lord said to Jacob, "Return to the land of your fathers and to the land of your family, and I will be with you." So Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field to his flock. And he said to them, "I see your father's countenance that it is not favorable toward me as before. But the God of my father has been with me. And you know that with all my might I have served your father. Yet your father has deceived me and changed my wages 10 times. But God did not allow him to hurt me. If he said, 'Thus the speckled shall be your wages,' then all the flocks bore speckled. And if he said, 'The streaked shall be your wages,' then all the flocks bore streaked. So God has taken away the livestock of your father and given them to me. And it happened at the time when the flocks conceived that I lifted my eyes and saw in a dream, and behold, the rams which leaped upon the flocks were streaked, speckled, and gray spotted. And the angel of the Lord spoke to me in a dream, saying, Jacob. And I said, Here I am. And he said, Lift your eyes now and see all the rams which leap on the flocks are streaked, speckled, and gray-spotted, for I have seen all that Laban is doing to you. I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed the pillar and where you made a vow to me. Now arise, get out of this land and return to the land of your family. Then Rachel and Leah answered and said to him, Is there still any portion or inheritance for us in our father's house? Are we not considered strangers by him? For he has sold us and also completely consumed our money. For all these riches which God has taken from our father are really ours and our children's. Now then, whatever God has said to you, do it. And Jacob arose and set his sons and his wives on camels, and he carried all his livestock and all his possessions which he had gained, his acquired livestock which he had gained in Paddan Aram, to go to his father Isaac in the land of Canaan. And then verse 19. Now Laban had gone to shear his sheep, and Rachel had stolen the household idols that were her father's. Jacob had left home, the home of his mother and his father, some 20 odd years earlier. He had fled to his uncle Laban as a result of unresolved conflict in the home in which he grew up. A conflict which resulted in him conspiring with his mother Rebecca to deceive his father Isaac in order to relieve Esau of a blessing. And Jacob had spent many years in the house of his uncle Laban. He had worked hard for his uncle Laban. He had sacrificed some of the best working years of his life. 14 of those years had been spent working for Rachel, whom he loved dearly. And you probably all know the story of how, having worked 7 years for Rachel and Laban having organized a wedding ceremony, the bride is presented to Jacob, and the following morning he realizes that he had got two for the price of one. Well, in fact, he hadn't got two for the price of one. He'd got Leah rather than Rachel. So he has to work another 7 years for Rachel. But the Bible says that he loved Rachel. And so those 7 years were like a few days. Jacob had worked hard to create an environment which was safe, secure, settled, stable, structured, successful. Life in Laban's house had been okay, but it wasn't where he was supposed to be. There came a point in time when God said to him, "It is time to go back." Laban's house had become something of a comfort zone for Jacob. It was certainly a comfort zone for Leah and for Rachel, for their handmaids, and for the 11 children. And what God was asking Jacob to do was to make a journey back home. But for those who were accompanying Jacob, it was a journey into the unknown. They were being asked to go somewhere that they had never been before. And in the passage that we've just read, we see that Jacob calls Rachel and Leah, and he discusses this plan with them and says that God has told me that the time has come to go home. Little did they know that as part of God's plan, Joseph was in line to be a prime minister in Egypt. So this journey that they were embarking upon was an important piece of the jigsaw of God's plan. Of course, they didn't know about this, but it was theirs to obey an instruction that God had given. For reasons which are not entirely clear to me, Rachel decides to take her father's idols and bring them into the journey. Now, why on earth Rachel thought it necessary to steal the household idols and bring them into this journey is, I suppose, a matter of guesswork and assumption. It may be that Rachel felt insecure. After all, she was supposed to have been wife number one. This message isn't about polygamy, by the way. She was supposed to have got married to Jacob, but her father had switched things around. And her elder sister, Leah, was given to Jacob before she was.
So it may be that there was a certain insecurity in her life. Maybe she thought that those idols that her father worshipped would help them on what for her was a journey into the unknown. Maybe her father's idols would protect and preserve them on this journey on which they were about to embark. After all, Jacob's God was invisible. Nobody could see him. Jacob spoke about his God and the God of his fathers, but you couldn't see this God. And so maybe I will take my father's idols, I will bring something familiar from my father's house into this journey that we're about to embark on. Because my father's idols are tangible. They are something that I am familiar with, and they will protect us on this journey. Thing was, she didn't tell Jacob that she had told them, that she had taken them. Let's have a look at verses 22 to 26. It says, and Laban was told on the third day that Jacob had fled. Then he took his brethren with him and pursued him for 7 days' journey, and he overtook him in the mountains of Gilead. But God had come to Laban the Syrian in a dream by night and said to him, be careful that you speak to Jacob neither good nor bad. So Laban overtook Jacob, and Laban said to Jacob, what have you done that you have stolen away unknown to me and carried my daughters like captives taken with the sword? It's interesting, isn't it, that Jacob has embarked on this journey with his wives and his children, and there is someone who has decided to pursue him. And Jacob knows nothing about this pursuit, but there is something pursuing him. And the Bible says that God appeared to Laban in a dream of the night and said to him, look here, make sure that you do not ill-treat my servant Jacob. Isn't that comforting? To know that in your journey through life, that when something is pursuing you, that God has your back. In that journey through life, Jacob is traveling with these women and children And Laban is following him with all these followers of his. And God appears to Laban in a dream and says, look, make sure that you do not touch my servant Jacob. And if you forget about anything today, remember that God has your back. In this journey through life, God is watching over you. Man may pursue you. Man may pursue and overtake you. But God has your back.
Verse 26.
And Laban said to Jacob.
I mean, God has instructed him. He said, don't say anything to him. But when he gets there, he still starts talking. Right?
And Laban says to Jacob, what have you done that you have stolen away unknown to me and carried away my daughters like captives taken with the sword? Why did you flee away? You did not allow me to kiss my sons and daughters. You have done foolishly. It is in my power to do you harm. It is in my power to do you harm. But the God of your fathers. Hallelujah. This is a pagan worshiper who is saying, it is in my power to do you harm. But the God of your fathers spoke to me last night. Listen, may God send his angel to speak to some people on your behalf.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Verse 31. Sorry, verse 30.
He said, you have surely gone because you greatly longed for your father's house. But why did you steal my goods? Then Jacob answered and said to Laban, because I was afraid. Jacob is confessing. Jacob says, look, I was afraid. I did what I did because I was afraid. And you see, God, who sees the inside of us and knows our fears and our anxieties and our worries, knew that Jacob did what he did because he was afraid. He said, I was afraid that perhaps you would take your daughters from me by force. You know, the reason I like Jacob so much is that this guy is real, you know. No airs and graces, no pretense, no macho image. He says, I was afraid. And God knew that he was afraid, and that was why God stepped in. God interceding on his behalf and stepping in between him and a man who wanted to do him harm. But verse 32 troubles me.
Verse 32.
Jacob says that, he says this, with whomever you find your gods, do not let him live.
Jacob.
Look, this is a man who is afraid. He is frustrated. He's anxious. His journey home is being delayed.
Not by Storm Dennis.
His journey home is being disrupted. He is disappointed that he is being accused of theft. And in his frustration and his disappointment and his confusion, he's saying that with whomsoever you find your gods, do not let that person live. In the presence of our brethren, identify what I have of yours and take it with you. For Jacob did not know that Rachel had stolen them. And so he pronounces this curse. And he doesn't realize that it is his beloved Rachel who has taken the idols.
And the Bible says that Laban went into Jacob's tent, went and searched Jacob's tent. Then he went into Leah's tent and went and searched Leah's tent. Then he went into the tents of the two maids. Didn't find his gods. Then he entered into Rachel's tent. Verse 34. Rachel had taken the household idols, put them in the camel's saddle, and sat on them. She had taken them, put them in the camel's saddle, and sat on them. And Laban searched all about the tent, but did not find them. And she said to her father, "Let it not displease my lord that I cannot rise before you, for the manner of women is with me." And he searched, but did not find the household idols.
You took the idols, you sat on them, and you lied.
I pause deliberately.
This is a delay and a disruption which is being occasioned to this family's journey. One, because Jacob had got up and left without telling Laban, and two, because Rachel had stolen the household idols. So this husband and wife team are the authors of their own predicament. This isn't devil. This husband and wife, they are the authors of their own delay and disruption to their journey. And as I was reading through the story, got to a point where I was thinking, Rachel, just apologize. Just say, I am sorry. Just say that, look, I was afraid. I've never seen my husband's God before. Dad, I know what your God looks like. And I took them because I thought that they could help me. As for this, my husband, he talks about some God that nobody has seen. And Laban would have said, but Rachel, Jacob's God appeared to me in the dream last night. So I know he exists. Give my idols back to me and go. But no. She sits on the idols. This is like doubling in the occult. It is. Because God says that I am a jealous God and I will not have any other, don't have any other gods beside me. And you have brought this thing into the journey. And the man has come and said, give my thing back to me. And you're sitting on it. And you're saying, I haven't seen it. And your husband is cursing and saying, the person who has taken this thing must die. Jesus. And the Bible says that Jacob has some harsh words for Laban. And then the two men part. And then when you fast forward to Genesis chapter 35. Genesis chapter 35, verse 16. It says, then they journeyed from Bethel, and when there was but a little distance to go to Ephrath,
Rachel labored in childbirth, and she had hard labor. Now it came to pass when she was in hard labor that the midwife said to her, "Do not fear, you will have this son also." And so it was, as her soul was departing, that she called his name Ben-Oni. But his father called him Benjamin. And says that Rachel died and was buried on the way to Ephrath, that is Bethlehem. Another classic example of the chaos and the confusion which we often create for ourselves by our conduct and the careless words that we use. I was asking myself, Lord, how is it that this man has worked 14 years for this woman? Only for her to die in childbirth. That which should have been a joyous occasion . That which should have been a time of celebration, this is the woman who is the mother of the next prime minister of Egypt. And she's not there to see her son entering into his glory. Delay, disruption, disappointment. Derailment of destiny. And the Bible says that Jacob grieved. He was inconsolable. Why wouldn't he be? He had pronounced the curse. Ben-Oni, the son of my iniquity. Benjamin, the son of my right. Sometimes I wonder why these stories are in the Bible. They are there as an example for us. They are there because God wants to warn us about our speech and our actions. He says that life and death are in the
power of the tongue. Jacob, why did you pronounce that curse? Let him who has taken the idols die. Rachel, why did you take them in the first place?
Mother Nature can sometimes be unpredictable. There are things that will happen in our journey through life.
God deliberately intervened and spoke to Laban and said, make sure that you don't harm Jacob. But Jacob harmed himself.
This wasn't necessarily the sort of message that I wanted to deliver at the start of a new year and a new decade. And I will understand if you don't invite me back.
But it is my earnest prayer. It is my sincere prayer that we will be careful . May God place a watch before our lips . Guard our mouths from careless utterances. Because sometimes we say things and we can't take them back. Jacob was the priest of that family. And he didn't know what he was saying. May the God who watches over our backs grant us the grace to speak those things which produce life. May God grant us the grace to speak those things which bring health and healing. And may God grant us the grace not to take His grace for granted. And not to mingle anything from the occult world as we journey through life. Because those things are dangerous. And they can do us harm. Don't take something that is not of God and sit on it and embrace it. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you are a God of mercy and loving kindness. Father, your ways are not our ways, and neither are your thoughts our thoughts. And as heaven is high above the earth, so, Father, your ways are high above our way. Father, I thank you for your people today, for everyone under the sound of my voice. Father, I pray, Lord, long life for them. Father, lives which are long and productive and prosperous. And Lord, even as you sent your angel to protect Jacob, so I pray that you will send your angel to protect your people. Be with them in their going out and their coming in, their uprising and their downsitting. Father, when men intend to do them harm, as your angel appeared to Laban and stopped that which he had intended to do, so I pray that your people will know your favor surrounding them like a shield. No weapon that is fashioned against them prospers, and any tongue that rises against them in judgment, may it be condemned. And Father, where we have spoken careless words, and where we have done careless things, may the blood of Jesus Christ avail for our cleansing. May the blood that Jesus shed avail for our healing. May it avail for our cleansing and our restoration to right standing with you. Thank you, Father, for your people. Thank you. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.